About miracles, were you up close and could witness an actual miracle, laying on of hands, of healing?
Mm-hmm.
You have like one story?
Most dramatic ones were when somebody, unless you do the follow-up, you don't know anyway, but when somebody would get out of a wheelchair or throw a cane down or say they could see or hear, and we saw several of those. There's no way to ultimately verify unless you follow that person, because sometimes in the moment, their eye really does open and they see. And then by the time they're home, they're blind again. To me, that's not as authentic, but we have several written reports of the ones I saw were there at the Mabee Center, because I wasn't with him in the tent days. In fact, I remember him say this, incidentally, in my last long conversation with him. He said, not one person was ever healed in the invalid tent. He just volunteered that. I said, what do you mean by that, sir? Not one. I could feel the anger and the disillusionment that God would heal in the big tent. I mean, literally, eyes would open and deaf ears unstop. But in that place where they were slobbering and defecating and urinating and regurgitating and they were on oxygen and they were smelly and hot, and he would go through there in between the sermon and the healing line and literally lay hands on the people. You know.
So they had their own tent. You called the invalid tent.
Yes, sir. It was a smaller tent, like the Mabee Center.
And these were people who couldn't be up on stage.
They couldn't go into the main.
All right.
And we didn't want them in there anyway, because if you fail with them, it discourages the faith.
Right.
Of the people.
So he'd go through there, and he didn't get a healing experience.
Never. He was about 90 when he said that to me, or maybe 89. He was very frustrated, and I was too, because it's like, God, at least do one so I can come out of the invalid tent before I pray for the other people and say, I just was in the invalid tent. There was a man who'd never walked in his life, and here he is right now. We couldn't do that. And it seemed senseless that God wouldn't heal. Because if you drive up to the invalid tent, if you come on that side of the tent, it looked like a disaster scene with ambulances and all that stuff. It looked like hearses. People would drive their people in vans or whatever for miles just so oral could lay hands on them. And it was very frustrating to him that not one got healed.
You were so close to him. Did you pick up on healing in your ministry?
I had healing. I had been evangelizing. I had my first revival when I was like 16 or 17 years old, and I always had healing. I mean, my grandfather, I told you about Papa, was known. People would come from miles around just so he could lay hands on them. So in our culture, healing was common. Black people didn't have insurance. We couldn't go to the doctors that easily. And so everybody learned to have faith. So it was very common for us to have healing, and we just believed in it, cast out devils. I cast out my first demon when I was like 17 years old. It was frothing and screaming and cursing, and it startled me. I was scared to death, but I did it because I taught that's what you do by my parents and grandparents and godparents. It was part of the culture, and Oral believed in it as well. And that's one of the things I was helping to make Richard feel comfortable with on the road. I was always with him by his side if he was praying for the sick, or especially in those settings. Pentecostal services always attract weirdos. And so somebody's always going to do something weird, stupid, or scream. They want attention, so they're going to start doing the demon thing, and then you got to go help them. You can cast the devil out or knock the devil out.
Well, let me just say about your church, it grew to an average attendance of over 6,000 people.
In a week's time. That's three services and Wednesday night.
Okay. That still is a pretty impressive number.
Yeah.
In 96, you were ordained a bishop.
Consecrated a bishop. Mm-hmm.
And that was important to you, or that's just the normal way it goes in the Church of God in Christ?
Well, I didn't want to be a bishop. I mean, there were young preachers around me who wanted me to become a bishop so that I could consecrate them to become a bishop. You can find a bishop a dime a dozen these days, and three dozen on a good day. So I was very popular as Carlton Pearson, very successful as Carlton Pearson, but the Azusa Conference attracted so many pastors and churches who wanted to affiliate with me. So I started the Azusa Fellowship, Interdenominational Fellowship of Christian Churches and Ministries. After that, I was consecrated to the bishopric.